Now, let's go on to the results similar to the cause, which is broken up into two in terms of the experience and in terms of our behavior. So the results similar to the cause in terms of our experience, here you can see that this is, you know, really the illustration of, you know, what goes around comes around. It's like how the kinds of things we do towards other people, it creates the experiences that we have ourselves later. Okay. So in terms of killing, it produces a short life with much sickness. This is very helpful to think, you know, whenever we have any of these results, yeah, whenever we get sick, to think, ah, this is karmic result of, you know, killing or assaulting people or beating them up or some kind of violence towards others. Yeah? So it's helpful to think about this, because then instead of just, you know, woe is me, I'm so sick, why does this happen, you know, it's like, well, maybe I made a mistake myself. Yeah. Not in the sense of masochistically blaming ourselves, like, oh, I'm so negative, I killed somebody in my past life, I deserve to have this happen to me. Not that kind of very screwy psychological thing, but just recognizing that we make, you know, our own mistakes put us in situations where we experience unpleasant results. So the thing to be learned from that is that if we don't like the result, let's get our act together and stop creating the cause. Yeah? And that's really why we're studying all of this in so much detail. It's not just a bunch of nice, oh, isn't this interesting information, but it's like to really think about and apply to our life. And, you know, as we hear about these results, and if we don't like them very much, then to say, oh, well, you know, I don't like this, so I'm not going to create the cause. It's like if you think of what it's like to be in jail, you think, well, I don't want to go there, so I'm not going to create the cause. Or if you think of, you know, what it's like to, you know, I don't know, play with firecrackers and have your hand blown off, then you think, I don't want that result, I'm not going to create the cause. So this is something we do a lot in our regular life. You know, we think of causes and results, and we know unpleasant results, and so we make an effort to avoid the causes. So this is the same thing. It has nothing to do with guilt or deserving things, but it has to do with learning from previous mistakes, you know, instead of feeling sorry for us, ourselves, and then making an attempt to do something different in the future. Okay, is that clear to everybody? Is that making some sense? Anybody stuck on this point? Yeah, so you say it feels a little bit uncomfortable to say that this is due to stuff I did in the past rather than just say it's due to getting a virus now.
Yeah, I mean, it also
seems like it's a place to act. Oh, so then it's, okay, so there's two things here. It's like, you know, is this, well, the Christian Science, he said, it's God's will. And so we don't take, you know, they don't take medicine because it's meant to be. But in the case of Buddhism, this is not Buddha's will. Okay, Buddha doesn't want us to get sick. Yeah, Buddha's been trying for eons to teach us how to avoid creating the cause to get sick, but we don't listen so well. So it's nobody else is putting on it on us. Okay, and the thing is also, karma is not fatalistic, so it's not like, I got a cold and this is my negative karma, so I just have to live out this karma and suffer. You know, it's like, well, there's medicine, so you take medicine. Yeah? Why not? Why not? Why not take medicine? Okay? It makes you feel better. Yeah? Why not take medicine? There's no, from a Buddhist viewpoint, there is no intrinsic virtue in making ourselves suffer. Yeah? The reason we think like this is because even though we try and avoid suffering, it comes anyway. So considering that we can't avoid it except by purifying, then either we should purify first, or if the results ripen and we get sick and have unfortunate things, then at least we can learn, feel like it's serving some purpose, like it's ripening that karma and finishing that karma. Yeah, so then like if you're sick, you can say, okay, this is that karma finishing, I'm glad. Okay, that doesn't mean if you take medicine that you're interfering with that karma. Yeah? And it doesn't mean that you should deliberately make yourself sick so that you can purify more karma. Okay? But it's just that we try not to suffer, but since, you know, we spend our whole life trying not to suffer and it comes anyway, then if we can somehow look at it in a different way, we can at least stop the mental suffering. Okay? Because, for example, you said, well, why do I have to think it's my own negative action rather than just a bug that's going around? Well, it's true, it is just a bug going around. But if we think, well, it's just a bug, then it's very likely we're going to get angry at the person who was sitting next to us who sneezed, you know, who was so inconsiderate that they kept sneezing and they didn't stay home, and we just put all this anger on them, blaming them for our sickness, okay? And then when we're angry about being sick, not only do we have the physical discomfort of being sick, but then our mind is bananas on top of it. So we've gotten more unhappy. Whereas if you think, oh, okay, I mean, this person sneezed, that's true, but why did I get sick this particular time? It's because I have that seed in my mind stream from a mistake I made in the past life. So rather than blame the other person, I should recognize that if I don't like this result, then to try in the future, you know, to lessen my attachment, my anger and belligerence so that I don't continually create the cause to get sick like this. Okay? So that way we kind of learn from unfortunate experiences instead of just wallowing in so many horrible things happen. Why? Yeah? Also another example is like, I talked to some of the lamas who were imprisoned under the Chinese, after, you know, they took over Tibet. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine just being your whole society destroyed and you're thrown in prison and you're locked up and you're let out twice a day to go pee and that's about it. You get one bowl of sampa a day and, you know, everything you had completely destroyed, your freedom completely gone. I mean, most of us, we would, you know, we'd probably, you know, freak out and just sit there and be so totally miserable and perplexed and unhappy and angry, you know, about the whole thing that, you know, our mental state would just be one of complete suffering, plus the body's incarcerated, and then the negative mental state would probably make our body very sick. Yeah? Because when you get really negative mentally, you stop taking care of yourself, you lose that balance, and then disease comes much more readily. Okay? But many of these lamas, they tell you what they did. You know, they practiced a variety of techniques, you know, the thought training techniques. But one of them was to think, this is my own negative karma ripening. So then rather than sit there and get so angry at the situation, I'm so angry at the guards that have locked them up, and so angry at the government, the Beijing government, you know, and just sit there and stew in their anger, stew in their misery, feel totally frustrated because I can't do anything about it. Yeah. Rather than sit and make myself more unhappy because of thinking that way, they thought, oh, this is the result of my own negative karma. Yeah. No reason to blame anybody else. No reason to be unhappy. This is a result. I created the karmic cause. I'm glad it's happening now. It's purifying this karma. It's finishing it. Yeah. And then they would do the taking and giving practice on top of that and say, as long as I'm enduring this and I can't get out of this situation because of my own negative karma, may this suffice for the suffering of all beings in similar situations, and then may I take their suffering upon myself and give them my happiness. And then by meditating in this way, they kept their minds very happy. And that's why you see amongst the Tibetan community far less far fewer numbers of post-traumatic stress syndrome than you do amongst other refugee groups who have had similar kind of horrendous things happen to them. Yeah? Because if you can keep your mind buoyant You know, you don't get post-traumatic stress syndrome afterwards. You don't get completely debilitated while it's going on. And it begins to have some kind of meaning, you know, so that you can fit it into your life, and it makes sense and it seems worthwhile. Yeah? So this doesn't, like I said, this doesn't mean that we cause suffering on ourselves. It doesn't mean that we stay in suffering as long as we possibly can. There's no kind of masochistic tendency in this, okay? But it's just when suffering's there, rather than reject the situation, and in doing so make it worse, accept the situation and learn from it. Yeah, and what we learn is that I can improve my own behavior, and then I won't get this kind of result. And I tell you the story so often of, you know, when I got hepatitis in Nepal, because this is when the whole thing came really strong to me. You know, it was my first year of learning Dharma, and I got hep, and I was just lying there like, you know, going to the bathroom was the major event of the day. So that's all I had energy to do. And I was completely miserable, and somebody gave me the Wheel of Sharp Weapons. And up until that point, you know, whenever I thought about Dharma, I was always thinking, I should practice Dharma. I should practice Dharma. You know, the should mind, lots of shoulds. And then after I read this book and I really said, okay, I'm sitting here, I have hepatitis. This is a result of my own negative actions. And actually that makes sense, because if I'm real truthful and I look back, even this life, forget previous life, even this life, I've harmed other people's bodies. I've harmed animals' bodies. Yeah, I've done lots of that as a kid. So what's there to freak out about that I experience some suffering now? Look at the suffering I've caused to others this life. So what if I've done it this life when I'm, you know, think I'm a relatively okay person, then what, you know, what could I have done in previous lives? Because who knows what I was born in a previous life. So it's no big surprise that I'm sick. Yeah? And then all of a sudden, instead of saying I should practice Dharma, I began to say I want to practice Dharma, because it began to seem like this is a real worthwhile thing to do, because if I practice Dharma, then I can purify these causes that are already in my mind stream, and I can train my mind and subdue the disturbing attitude so that I don't continually create more and more and more of the same stuff. So then the reason for practicing Dharma changed from this incredible should to I want to. Yeah? Does that help? Yeah. Okay, then the second one is stealing, okay? The result similar to the cause in terms of what we experience in the future from stealing is poverty. Yeah? So this doesn't mean just, you know, people who were born in poor countries. And it doesn't mean we say, oh, you know, look, those people born in Ethiopia, they're so poor, it's because they stole from other people in the past. They're bad people. They deserve to suffer. You know, that's not the way to think, okay? You don't blame anybody for what their present experience is. When people experience suffering, we know what it's like. We want others to help us, so we develop a compassionate attitude wanting to help them. So it's not a judgmental thing. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday. Our society is just so incredibly judgmental, you know? I mean, just incredibly. And we've been had this whole thing put extend to others too. But our society is so judgmental, you know, that we don't like others judging us, but even others don't judge us. We judge ourselves, and then we start judging other people. It's like it's so hard for us to put down this paradigm of judgment. And yet, from a Buddhist viewpoint, it's completely inaccurate and useless. You know? So when, you know, we suffer, it doesn't mean we deserved it. It doesn't mean we're bad people. When we make a mistake, it doesn't mean we're bad people. It just means we made a mistake. there's a difference between the mistaken action and the person who does it. Yeah? But as long as we equate a bad action with an evil person, then there's no way we can ever feel good about ourselves. I don't care how many, you know, self-help books you read and adult child courses you go to. As long as you equate, you know, bad actions with bad person, then you see yourself that way. And not only seeing yourself that way, you see other people that way, and then the mind gets just trapped in hatred and judgment. And there's no way out of it. Externally, the only way out of it is to completely drop that whole paradigm of judgment. Yeah? Because it's completely our conception. It's just over, you know, this conceptual garbage. People make mistakes. It doesn't mean they're bad. Everybody has the Buddha nature. Yeah? How can you say a person's bad if they make a mistake? How can we say we're bad if we make a mistake? So if we do, you know, we act negatively, we put negative imprint in our own mind, it doesn't mean we're bad people. When that negative imprint ripens, it doesn't mean we're bad people. Yeah, and it doesn't mean we're getting punished. But you see, when we retrogress to being 5 years old in Christian Sunday school, we listen to Buddhism and we hear 5 year old Sunday school again. Okay? Because we're not listening to what the Buddha's saying, we're stuck back in Sunday school. And I don't even think this is what Jesus taught. You know, I don't think Jesus would have been so judgmental. So, but, you know, we just get completely stuck in our own paradigm, which is, you know, putting glasses on a world and seeing through our own deluded view. Okay, so poverty is a result of stealing, having your stuff ripped off and robbed. When you're forced to give up or share your possessions, you know, you're forced to share things you don't want to share, or your things are confiscated from you, either justly or unjustly. Even things that are technically yours, you can't use. You know, like you get an inheritance, but then it gets stuck in the courts and you can't get the money. You know, so even things that are like legally yours, you can't get your hands on. Just so many obstacles in terms of material possessions and having the resources to live. Yeah, not having enough and having difficulties with what we have.